The Book Programme, presented by Hannah Murray.
Joining us on the line now is Elizabeth Rhodes. She's deeply involved with her local writing community as Vice President and Co-Chair of Programmes for the second largest branch of the California Writers Club, the Orange County branch. She's with us on the book show to talk about her debut novel, Haggard House. It's a dark psychological suspense novel set in the mid-1800s. It's about a young man named Adam who has a reclusive childhood within the dank walls of Haggard House. As Adam begins a forbidden relationship with the bright-eyed heathen Penny, he sets in motion the unveiling of family secrets and is forced to face his inner world, one that has been steadily deteriorating. Welcome to the book show, Elizabeth.
Thank you so much for having me, Hannah. I really am happy to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you with us. And congratulations on your debut novel. Very exciting.
Thank you so much. It is exciting.
Yeah. So tell us about your background and when and why you decided to write this book.
Yeah. So originally I'd actually been interested more in theater and acting and was kind of pursuing a career in that. I got my degree, my undergraduate degree in theater. And I moved to Chicago and I was trying to get some auditions there. And while I was living there, I worked some different jobs, just trying to make a living. And one of the jobs was babysitting for a family that was actually, they were both writers. And the mom actually said to me at one point, I don't remember why, but she said, it's interesting you're pursuing a career in theater because I actually see you as a writer. And so that kind of sparked something in me. I was like, oh, that's interesting. And I had been writing at that point. I was actually writing some screenplays at that point. And so from there, I got quite a bit more serious about it. And I wrote a couple of novels. You know, they both were not very good. And then I got to the point of writing my third novel, which is the one that ended up being Haggard House. And then that ended up being like a 4-year, writing process. But it was the one that I finished and, went all the way with. And, I'm really happy to have it out in the world now.
Yeah, great. So what was the inspiration for this novel?
So for this novel, it's kind of funny. I just had this image of a woman finding, and it is a bit of a dark novel, but of finding these animal heads at her door, and there was this mystery behind who's leaving them there. And so that was kind of the initial image that I had, and then the rest of the novel and the story evolved from there.
Yeah, so tell us about your main character, Adam.
Yeah, so Adam, he grew up in a very restrictive, almost like a cult-like atmosphere. His mother doesn't want him to be around the other children. In fact, in the story, she holds him back from going to school until he's 11 years old. And so when he finally does go to school, he has a lot of inner conflict, and his mother has actually instructed him not to play with the other children. And so, as you can imagine, going to school for the first time and having this conflict of, people inviting you to play a game and what do you do? And for the most part, he does keep to his mother's command, but there is an exception. And it's this young girl named Penny. And they kind of form a relationship at school, a friendship. And as the years pass and as things evolve, he starts to question some of these things that he's been taught by his mother and by the pastor of this church that, he regularly attends. And he ends up going out west, and that's his first time away from his family. And that's the first time he really starts to, question things and have real life experiences. And it's a very difficult and tumultuous time for him, but also very maybe eye-opening in a way.
Yeah, I mean, your upbringing, I guess, is all you know, isn't it? It's your normal,
right?
Whatever it's like. It's only when you start meeting other people and realizing that not everybody was brought up that way that you start to live your life, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what happens to him in the novel. He gets, confronted by these differing beliefs from what he grew up with. And it's a bit of a punch in the face in a way.
So why is it set in the 1800s?
So I've actually always loved literature that's kind of classic literature. I really love Charles Dickens and the Bronte sisters, Edgar Allan Poe. And I've read these stories so much that setting was kind of really in my head, and also that language. So I did try to write it in a somewhat kind of 18th or 19th century English. And so, yeah, it just kind of naturally happened that way because that's the period I particularly like to read in. And it just kind of was like really in my head that that was the time period that this story was set. And it also just kind of helps with setting as well, just on a, like structural level, because, it made it a lot easier for me to put Adam in this very reclusive setting where, there's not a lot of influence from, I guess, the outside world, and where he's living in like a very rural, they're kind of like off the beaten path. Their house is about 2 miles from the schoolhouse, and it's very easy to be for him to be secluded and live this reclusive life until he finally does go to school.
Yeah. And so you didn't have to do a lot of research then into this time period.
Oh, I did.
Oh, you did as
I
well.
did. Yeah, it was a ton of research. I can't really say how much time I spent on it, honestly. But I've actually been doing a series on my Instagram, where I've been going through all of my old research books for Hagrid House. And I'm taking a picture of each of the books. I probably won't do 100% of them because some of them were no, digital books and things like that. But at least of the physical books, taking a picture of the physical book with my book, and I realized just how much work I had actually done by going through and doing this. And I just was like, oh wow, that was actually a lot of work. But it took quite a long time, and there's so many small details that you don't really think about. I guess the thing I learned about researching for a historical novel is usually the things that you tend to get wrong are the questions that you don't know to ask. You might make certain assumptions from a 21st century perspective, or just having lived in the world in the 21st century that you maybe shouldn't make. So it was a very eye-opening experience, and it was actually very fun, but it was a lot of work.
Yeah, you've got to make sure it's authentic, haven't you? The last thing you want is for
Right.
someone to read the book that somehow knows more about that time period than you and start saying, no, that never would have happened. He wouldn't have eaten that for breakfast.
Exactly. Yeah, it's kind of like a terrifying part because people are specialized in so many different things, and once a book is out in the world, it has potentially such a wide audience, and there's people that obviously are going to know more than you. So yeah, just trying to nail down all those details, it did take a long time.
Yeah. And having done all that research and also read so many books set in this time period, can you imagine living then? Would you have liked to have lived then, do you think?
It's funny because I always imagined myself as born in the wrong era. I thought, I should have been born back then. But I think the more research I do, and the more I think about it, did I really want to live in a world without, healthcare and access to medicine and, certain types of medicine? Of course, they had some medicines. Lower life expectancy. Definitely higher incidence. I mean, a carriage accident was, a common accident at the time. And in fact, one of the characters, I guess, I don't think this is a spoiler, but one of the characters, because he's a minor character, it's not a spoiler, does die in a carriage accident. So, things like that were more common. And so I actually don't know. I don't know
Yeah,
if I would want to go back to the.
I know what you mean. Different things to worry about. It's not like they had
Right.
nothing to worry about, and it's not like everything was that much worse. It was just different, I suppose.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And did you plan a lot of your novel? Were you a planner or a pantser?
It's interesting because the first couple of novels that I wrote, I spent such a long time outlining them, and just trying to really get that outline almost perfect. And I realized as I was going through and writing them, I kind of call them my practice novels because they were just really me learning the craft of writing a novel, I think. But as I was actually going through and writing them from the outline, I found that the story always diverged from what I had originally intended. And it was so completely different from the outline by the end of the story that I just thought I wasted all of that time making this beautiful outline. Like, what was the point of that? So for this one, I actually didn't have any outline. I just decided to go with my instinct or my gut and just write it. And it was a bit chaotic in some ways, but I think it actually did help me. And in the end, I did something called a reverse outline where I went back and made sure that everything, you know, kind of lined up and that each chapter was propelling the plot forward.
Yeah, you have to find a way that works for you, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So will you work that way again moving forward, do you think?
Yeah, so I actually, I'm drafting another novel. I actually just finished a first draft of a new novel. And yeah, I definitely working the same way. I don't know if it's the most efficient way to work, just because there is so much chaos in it. But I think because I am typically such an organized person, it's kind of good for me to like let go of that and just let it evolve naturally and see what happens. And out of that chaos, something does emerge eventually, but it takes a long time.
Yeah, nice. And I suppose when you're writing and you haven't got a plan, especially if you're writing a suspense novel, then I guess you're surprising yourself or even scaring yourself as you're writing it.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the interesting things about the novel is it's written in multiple points of view. It's written from five different points of view. And one of the big surprises that I got was that I would never plan to do this, but one character ended up having one chapter in her point of view. It's Adam's mother. And I never anticipated that or planned for that. But it was actually one of the most satisfying chapters to write. It was very intense. You know, I did mention he kind of grew up in this sort of cult, and she's the one that's put together a lot of these ideas, or, you know, she's the one that's teaching him these ideas anyway. And so I wrote this one chapter towards the end of the book that's from her point of view. And that was a very intense experience where I pretty much wrote it in one sitting. I actually had to edit it very little. And yeah, that was just one of the really cool surprises that comes about when you're not really like trying to control the plot so much.
Yeah. And it adds a whole new layer, I guess, doing it from different people's point of view, particularly the mother's, because if we're only hearing it from his point of view, mm-hmm. I guess hers is very different.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I think at least the response that I've gotten from readers is that they're really happy that that chapter was included, just because, you know, they could see it. She's probably not the most likable character, but having the ability to see things from her point of view made them maybe a little bit more empathetic towards, you know, why she was doing the things she was doing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if people want to get a copy of the book, it's called Haggard House and it's available on our website, tre.radio. It's by Elizabeth Rhodes, who we've been chatting with today. Elizabeth, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. This was so fun.